are just dressed with God's illumination. And the Greek word for the light of the world is the Greek word phos, P-H-O-S, which is where the word phosphorus comes from. That means that you are in the world in behalf of Jesus. You are as the moon is to the sun in reflection of natural light. But yet you have the light of life. You're not just a reflection of the light of life. You're a carrier of the light of life. He doesn't just shine on you and bounce off of you like the light of the sun does to the moon. He's in you. He shines from within you. That's what the anointing of God is. That's what the glory of God is by partial definition. The light of God is in you. You cannot convince the Holy Spirit that you're diseased. You can convince yourself that you're diseased, but you'll never convince him because he's not diseased and he's in you. You cannot convince him you're depressed because the joy of the Lord is your strength. One of his fruits is producing joyfulness, joyous rejoicing, glad celebration. A revelation brings a celebration. You know, if you get the local yearly mail from the publisher's clearinghouse that you're a winner, just getting that big bulk packet they mail out doesn't convince you you're a winner, does it? But if you get a certified letter from the publisher's clearinghouse that you've won X amount of dollars, hey, if it's even $100, you $100 happier than you were before you got their mail, huh? And when you get that certified check in your hand, you have a revelation of a celebration that they weren't kidding you. Well, better than that, all the promises of God are yes and amen in your union with Jesus. And you don't earn them. You don't got to go out and seek them on your own. Because if you got to go seek the blessing of God, then Jesus didn't deliver them to you. What you're doing is you're having your thinking, your recognition, your understanding, your perception, your comprehension, you're having that changed because the promises of God have been yes and amen in Christ Jesus from the day that he died on the cross at Calvary and then 3 days later raised from the dead. You don't have entitlement to any more of God now than you did when you first called upon Jesus. But you found out about more of it, haven't you? So you're being transformed in your thinking, in your understanding, in your comprehension, and in your expectation. I'm telling you, the miracle worker's in you. He's in you. That's how you've had stuff happen enough to let you know this is real. The miracle worker is in you. And he ain't vacating the premises. He has sealed you, and the Holy Spirit guarantees your salvation. You're good to go. So you might as well partyize and partify while you're here. Everywhere you go, there's the presence of God. And people have felt it. People have experienced it, haven't they? You know there's been people be looking at you all suspiciously when you get up near them, especially when you be smiling at people. Now, you can do a put-on smile, but man, when you just walking around in the goofiness of Jesus, that catches people off guard, doesn't it? Hey, I want to tell you, the young man Kenny that you went up and ministered to for that time he was in the hospital, and I went up twice and saw him and laid hands on him, he ain't in the same condition he was in a couple of weeks ago. I wanted to remind you of that. And he knows God visited him in the hospital. He knows it. So I want to thank you and commend you and compliment you for being the Jesus juice that he needed to drink. And I went in and supplemented it twice. And both times I did, when you know a bunch of nurses come in and start skittering around. But I still laid hands on him anyway. But you went in and juiced him up, man. And his body's not in the same condition it was a few weeks ago. His appendix had ruptured. I mean, he was deathbed material. Yes. And then he had a bunch of other things show up as a result. But he's good to go now. Good job. You see, God's in you. And God flows through teenagers. Sometimes even quicker than full-grown people. When the teenagers or the children or the preteens aren't fed up through fear, doubt, and unbelief and religiosity, but through a revelation, not even information. It's like these two girls, Sarah and Julia. They've grown up in this church body. I mean, literally, from birth, they've been part of us. You know, I know from my own four kids' experience, I haven't always wanted to be here, but I want to remind you girls, since I brought you up, these truths you've been taught at home and taught in church, they'll change people's lives if you let them flow through you. And these truths will continue to raise you up, but they'll flow through you, even in times of crisis, to bring deliverance to other people. These guns are loaded. I mean that. These guns be loaded. ready to be exploded. Shampoo. I just made that sound up. Shampoo. Sound like short version shampoo, don't it? Or Shamu. What I say, shampoo? Boy, that don't sound macho. Got a silencer on. Shampoo. Shampoo. Yeah, well, just, hey, you ain't firing blanks. These signs shall follow them that believe. They will lay hands on the sick, and they shall shampoo. They shall recover. I can see you cruising up the highway on your Poofa Davidson shampooing people. Yes, Poofa Davidson. That's a divine Harley Davidson. A Poofa Davidson. Can you see a hardcore biker cruising up the highway pointing to people yelling, shampoo, shampoo? Okay. Hallelujah. You're the shampoo of the Holy Ghost. Shampoo. Yeah. Yeah. The Warren Beatty movie from a few decades ago. Yeah, this is the real version, shampoo. You are the shampoo of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, man, God in you wants to get busy with it. And you know he does because he's been telling you that and he's been flowing through you. You just needed to stay convinced of it. And how can you stay convinced of something if you're hanging around a bunch of people who are shooting down the realities of God? But I want you to be reminded they cannot get your spirit. Your born-again spirit can never be in a state of unbelief. But your mind can. Your imaginations can. Your expectations can ride the thermometer of high and low. And one thing that I believe the Lord wants us to do in this 12-week period is get you free from low expectations of the power of God. Because if he can't use the body of Christ, who can he use? He said these signs will follow them to believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues, even if he's got to catch them while they're sleeping and get them to grunt a little bit. Our son Caleb, when he was 6 years old, and we were in a winter in Parkersburg, he got convicted that he wanted to be water baptized. The only practical place to water baptize him was in a deep dish bathtub we had in the house. One of those old style deep dish, I call them. So we filled it with warm water. Sandy and I baptized him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. That covers the Trinity believers as well as the Jesus-only folks. That covers all the ground. And Caleb came. Yeah, that's right. And Caleb came at 6 years old. Caleb came up out of the bathtub speaking in tongues without having much teaching on it from the church services he had been in at that particular time. In fact, that was even before I'd begun to pastor a church. So he's had his prayer language since he was 6 years old. He got some shampoo of God in that bathtub experience. You take your biggest encounter with God, and you ain't seen it all yet. But are you believing for it? I'm believing for some creative miracles in my family and in me. I'm expecting them. I know that it's the will of God concerning me. And we're expecting some breakthroughs even in ministry. And we've had more than a couple dozen prophecies even recently. Even last week, from outside sources that we've never solicited any prophetic words from. Yet God says, keep moving in the same direction you're going. And then we got notice last week, we could be out of this building in a month and a half or so. We have no reason to panic. No reason to panic. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's liberty in you, and liberty free to flow through you. I want to tell you, you can never waste the occasion. When you lay hands on people. When you lay hands on people as a vessel of God, nothing bad's going to happen to them, is it? And how can something good not happen when you're a vessel? You and I ought to be free from having to wonder, did something happen when we lay hands on people? When you become convinced of it, you get settled into it. And that's what frees the Holy Spirit up to flow like milk and honey. You cannot waste a holy hug on somebody. When you wrap your arms around somebody, JR, be my lovely assistant. Stand up if you will, my brother. When you wrap your loving arms around somebody, God just took them captive. JR and I are captured. God's holding both of us. How can something good not flow like that? And the healer's in you, pouring healing oil on emotional wounds, on mental wounds, on wounds caused by rejection. You wouldn't know how to handle yourself if everybody accepted you. You'd get suspicious about your own self, wouldn't you? And you know, Jesus was rejected on 7 different occasions that I can read about in the 4 Gospels. 7 different occasions somebody rejected Jesus, including and ultimately his father at Calvary for 3 of the 6 hours that he was the sponge of God soaking in the sin of the world. That's how literal it was that Jesus became the sponge that carried away the sin of the world. My God, not daddy, daddy, or not my father, but on one occasion, my God, why have you forsaken me? Boy, you think you've been forsaken by some people? How'd you like to be God in a human body, take on the sin of the world, get assaulted physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, and then the curtains of heaven draw shut, and all the wrath of God's poured upon you that was due upon the world, and you're hurt, and you're crushed, and you're tormented, and you're defiled in every sense of the word, and then for the first time in your earthly life, you don't sense the presence of God, and you know what it is to have been forsaken by God who sent you to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what happened to Jesus for at least 3 of those hours of the 6 that he hung on the cross at Calvary. Separated because he had literally become one with the sin of the world. That's right. And then Jesus carried sin away so that God can never leave you nor forsake you when you've been born again, because he's not been imputing sin and trespasses to men from the moment that Jesus died with the sin of the world. So I'm telling you that those observations from even preachers, and I heard it again this week, that God's passing judgment on America, you don't know the redemptive work of Jesus. You don't know the reality of the finished work of Calvary. You don't know the high priesthood of Jesus, and you don't know the gospel of grace when you have the audacity to believe that God's pouring judgment on a nation of people, and a bunch of those people are called by his name. But anyway, that's a different soapbox I'll not get onto any longer tonight. Okay, so as we begin to bring this to a point tonight, God is in you. You're an ambassador. You're a vessel. You're a temple. God's convinced of it. He's never not believed that you're his kings and priests. He knows that's true more than you've come to know it to this point. These signs will follow, will accompany. These results will manifest from the body of Christ that they lay hands on the sick. And they will recover. Does that mean first time every time? No, that's not how it typically happens. But once you hit that breaking point of convincing, and you see and you hear and you receive testimony of changed people from you ministering to them, your expectation changes. And once you know in whom you have believed, you lose the willingness to settle for the status quo. God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, as Colossians tells us, Christ in you, by definition, is the anointed one in you. That's the world's hope of glory. And Christ can also be translated as the anointing of the anointed one in you, the hope of glory. I'm telling you, these guns are loaded. These guns are loaded with healing, with authority, with virtue, with glory. This mouth is loaded with the gospel of grace. How can God be mad at the world when he sent Jesus to demonstrate his love for the world? How can God be mad at the world when John 3:18 says he didn't send Jesus to condemn the world, but that through Jesus the world could be saved? How can he be mad at the world? Yeah, the world stinks, and the world's sucking for air, isn't it? Always has been since the fall of Adam and Eve. Even the original chosen people of God, Israel, still doesn't know God in spirit and in truth. They've rejected Jesus. Yet Romans 11:26 says, yet all of Israel shall be saved. And not only is God in love with the Israelites, God is in love with the Arabs. They're sons of Abraham through Abraham's attempt to fulfill the promise of God. God doesn't need you to fulfill his promises. Jesus fulfilled the promises of God. Now God's using you to realize, recognize, perceive, and believe these truths and go give them to the world. How can God be mad at the world when the gospel of Jesus is good news? And the very name gospel, by definition, means glad tidings, good report. I'm telling you, there is no bad news in the gospel of Jesus. None.